Next step number 563, March 21st, 2019. Hey, happy equinox. Yes, it is spring, and spring is all around us. And we spring into some kind of exciting talk about what's going on from a rather gloomy day to opportunities for hope. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. And I'm inviting you to take a look with us right now as we take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
It's supposed to be a downtime, you know? That's what Lent is, right? It's supposed to be downtime. 40 days, just kind of mellowing out. What's really essential for life? Introspection, meditation, kind of thinking. You know, it's kind of like counter popularity, right? Today, instant gratification. No, this isn't instant gratification. Yet, I got to tell you, today, I'm having a rough one today. And it's like pushing me to the limits. I just saw some stupid newspaper that was taking it out on the Armenian Church under the guise of, you know, church reform. You know what this is like? I'm sorry. Some of you don't know what it's about. And I'm not going to even qualify it by sharing anything on the links today, but I want you to imagine this. This is, whether you know it or not, this is something we can all relate to. You don't like the CEO of a particular company. Pick one at random, okay? Pepsi Cola, Ford Motor Company, okay? You don't like the CEO of the Ford Motor Company, and you demand his resignation. You demand it because he's not doing it properly. He's not doing it according to the script that you have in your head, right? What's the first thing they would ask you before you would demand anything? Who are you? Do you hold shares in the company? Are you a stockholder? It's like you're part of some other country, right? And you want the president to resign. Who are you? Are you a voter? Wait, what rights do you have? And this is what happens with church reform. It's somehow people think like, hey, it belongs to all of us. Who are you? Have you ever gone to church? Do you even know how to make the sign of the cross? Have you ever read Holy Scripture? Yeah, I mean, basic questions, right? Anyway, I don't mean to pick on you, but, you know, this is supposed to be this time of introspection and purpose, and they got the best of me today. I got some stupid newspaper in the mail and just kind of triggered me. So, I answered the trigger, okay? So let me move forward because I want to talk a little bit more about something that really hurt me this week. And, you know, I'm raw with you. I think, to me, this podcast, The Next Step, has always been cathartic. And I thank God that I have listeners, I have people who are caring, that write and engage with me. But this past week, of course, we were all of us were shaken up by the horrible, horrible acts of terror that we witnessed in New Zealand. And even more, it was like aided with the new technology in that the gunman was streaming this, and it was just interesting in the days that followed to hear how technology had to be bridled. So Facebook came out, YouTube came out. I forgot the statistics. It was something unusually high, like ridiculously high, something like a post a second. So the gunman went into New Zealand into two mosques and he started shooting, and he was broadcasting that live on Facebook. So people who immediately were following him, who got that feed, were then taking it and then reposting it on social media. So they had an interview with the people, the management over at Facebook, at YouTube, and they were quoting something like, I think, a post a minute they were seeing come up, and as soon as they could, they watched it come up, they would get it off, they turned it over to the bots would be taking it down. Incredible number of posts that people were putting up. So this is all new ground, right? Terrorist comes in, now he has the ability to broadcast his terror. And of course, we were all incensed that, you know, the most sacred of spaces, that these holy shrines are now becoming these places where such terror, such hatred, ironically, right? The holiest and safest sanctuaries are becoming places where hatred is spewed and is being acted upon. So what I wanted to share with you was that Monday night, at our usual Bible study, what happened was we had a gentleman who came in, and it was very obvious that he had some anger on him, from what I was told. He came in, and the way we set up, we are over at St. Mark's Episcopal Church doing our Bible study, and it has a long aisle where the participants in the Bible study are seated in the two sets of pews on both sides of that aisle. And I'm right in the center teaching. And there's a small little altar table and we're teaching. And towards the end of our Bible study, an angered man just walked in, and he had a backpack and just came straight up the aisle. Came up so quickly, and I want to also say confidently, in my eyes, you know, that I thought that he was somebody from the parish, because we do share this space with many other people in the congregation. There has been, for instance, the choral group that comes in after our Bible study and has their rehearsal. I just assumed that it was somebody who had gotten there early for the next program taking place. Comes straight up, goes up to the altar, kneels down, and at this time, one of our Bible study members began weeping, began crying. We had started our prayer service, our evening vigil, by the recitation of the I Confess with Faith. And I went up, as we were reciting it, I went up to this young lady who was noticeably in distress, crying. I said, "Is everything okay?" She said, "I don't like the vibes I'm getting from that guy." So meanwhile, we're continuing, and we do have a deacon there who immediately spotted this as well. And Deacon Robert, he went right in the back of the church to keep an eye on things. And this guy just came right by me. I didn't feel anything. I got to be honest with you, but people in the congregation told me that there was a lot of anger in this guy, and he walked past me, and they were scared that he was gonna brush up against me and might even hurt me. Anyway, this young lady, she was getting more noticeably aggravated, and I had to make a decision. I made a decision during that service. I just led the remainder of the Vesper service, by led the congregation in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer, and then dismissed everybody because I didn't want to take a chance. Yeah, I mean, we are all on edge. We're all on edge. Who wants to take a chance? You see a guy walking in with a backpack, coming into a church, angered. Okay, yeah. And I'm sharing this with you because I'm upset with myself. I'm upset that we spoke the rhetoric, but we're not following through with our actions. I've shared with you the power of love, the power of God, and yet this guy shook us up. And I think we're seeing that more and more. I'm being honest with you. Yeah, I could tell you, yeah, we were brave and everything, but what happened there shook me up. Not that he came in. Don't misunderstand me. Not that he came in. Same thing with this newspaper I started off. It's not this newspaper. It's not the article. But it's how it's affecting us. What's going on? What's going on in this world? And the hypocrisy that we're living with because we're preaching one thing and unable to act on it on the ways that we want to. To finish out the story, as soon as I finished the last prayer, he stormed out. He stole a couple books and left, and our deacon followed him down the street, and he was gone. But the unnerving element of this visit remained with us, and it remains with us until today, so much so that I'm sharing it with you today. Yeah, it bothers me. Are we just hypocrites? Are we talking about something that cannot work? It was interesting because the evening, the Bible study was about this hypocrisy. We spoke about the commandments of Christ, that higher level. You have heard that you will not murder. I tell you, if you have anger towards your brother, you are committing murder. And we were talking about the higher standard that Christ invites us to live. And so in the midst of all this, we were talking about hypocrisy being this action of talking one thing and doing something else. And I know I've shared this with you, my listeners. To me, I find it very interesting that Jesus is the most tolerant of all individuals. He tolerates everybody except the hypocrite. Interesting, right? Except the hypocrite. The guy who says one thing and lives something else. And so hypocrisy is built into the equation of being human. And so when Jesus looks at people and he says, you hypocrites, he can. The one who is without sin. You or I cannot do that. I cannot call somebody a hypocrite because I myself am a hypocrite. I'm bound by the pressures, by the sins, by the thoughts, the wills that we have. This doesn't mean that we're bad people. It means that we're human people. I don't think there's another type of people, is there? Well, maybe there is, yeah. But we're human. Same thing with sin. It just means you're human. You sin. We sin. We miss the mark. We try for perfection. And God knows we try. But you get set back. Things happen. Life happens. And that's what Jesus, I think, is telling us. When he talks in the Sermon on the Mount that, yes, you have heard that this is what was wrong. But I tell you, if you have the feelings, why is it that when we go into church and we confess the seven deadly sins, right? I mean, I'm not confessing that I shot somebody, I stole a loaf of bread. No, what am I confessing? That I have anger, I lust, I'm glutton, I have wrath, I have envy, I have pride. I'm lazy. These are the things that we talk about. This is what Jesus invites us to look at. The feelings that when acted upon are perceived as the evils in the world. But really, it's those emotions, it's those feelings that you have that come from the heart. And this is during Lent, you've got to kind of figure it all out. This is what the Lenten journey is about. Because life is tough and we do have opportunities where we stumble every single day of our lives. This is what Jesus was complaining. He pointed the finger at the Pharisees and he says, you guys are hypocrites. And so sometimes we as Christians say, oh, look at that. Jesus called them a hypocrite, therefore, I can do it too. I'm a Christian. No, you can't. That's the point. Jesus could, because he's Christ. He is perfection incarnate. You or I can't. We're not perfect. And so he continues to say, he says, be careful. Do not judge others lest you be judged. By the same measure that you judge others, you shall be judged. Whoa. Okay, then mellow out. There's a guy, I think I've shared this with you. It's remarkable. I listen to him every so often on the radio. And I always question myself, why am I listening? Is this, do I have like a, am I trying to get my pulse to go higher? What is it? Is my blood pressure to go higher? His name is Dennis Prager. He's ultra conservative. And he is always professing, he knows basic truths that you or I cannot know, cannot distinguish. And the more I listen to him, every time I listen, I say, okay, that is what the Pharisee is. He's a Jew. Interestingly, yes, he's having some kind of an event, which, by the way, is sold out. It's called Ask a Jew, Ask a Gentile. And listen to this. The advertisement for it is, ask a Jew, ask a Gentile. Okay, you say, well, that's okay. And the question that they ask the Jew, him, they ask him, is Jesus the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah? His answer is not yes or no. His answer is, I contend that Jesus never claimed he was the Son of God. Never claimed divinity. Well, that's not the answer, folks. You know, it's the skirting around. And when Jesus calls people hypocrites, he's talking exactly about that, that skirting around the issue. And we all do it. The problem is when you rise above that and you say, okay, I don't, and everybody else does. We all have our weaknesses, pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, sloth, the seven deadly sins. And there are others. These were somehow put together and we got excited about them. They are the big ones, yeah, the top seven. And so you work on them. And you look at stories, parables that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. Each one of those parables addresses different aspects of these sins. What was the story of the prodigal son last week, right? He was lazy. He had envy. The older son had envy. There was greed. There was wrath. There was pride. It was all in there. Same thing coming up this coming week. It's the Sunday of the dishonest steward. Just by his definition, somebody who was so proud that he didn't fear people. He wasn't ashamed of God. That's what it says. Yeah. Or the judge. And each of these stories accents the fact that it's not about the actions as much as it is about the emotions that we have. And this is what tore me apart and is tearing me apart too. Till today. This happened Monday night where I thought, if in a hypothetical statement you said this thing is going to take place, you would say that, well, the power of love is greater. We talk a good talk, but when push came to shove, we just ended the Bible study and we went on. We continued with our life. And this is what's happened. We've become scared. Because you realize that there are people out there who are taking it upon themselves to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Yes, that's what's happened. And we're seeing this in politics. We're seeing it on the presidential level here in the United States. We're seeing this in parliaments throughout the world. We're seeing this in the intolerance that people have towards one another. I know sometimes politicians get up and say, we have put terror in their place. The war on terror is being fought and we're winning. No, we're not. We have to admit that. The terrorists did win. If you've gotten on a plane in the last 20 years since 9/11, if you've gone to the airport, you know that the terrorists have won, right? Because you're inconvenienced. You have to take off your clothes. You have to take off. You have to be subjected to searches. Well, guess what? That didn't exist before. It does now. We're living in a different world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'm thankful that we have that kind of security. I mean, I never complain about that. I'd rather go an hour early and check through all of that stuff and stand in the lines than live with the other fear. But what I'm saying is that it shows that our world has changed. And we recognize that. I'm recognizing that as a priest. And it is touching the core of my belief. Because I realize that what we're talking about, and you've heard me many times use that metaphor, we don't fight fire with fire, we fight it with a hose, with water. Okay, we have the option to use water. Are we using it? How are we using it? Now, I don't want to be unfair to myself either, and I do realize that this was kind of just thrown on me on that Monday night. I hadn't been in this position before, but I do realize that I have to rethink this and be able to come up with a solution. We have to be protective of our feelings and our ability to communicate those feelings. Yes, it's been a very difficult week, and compounded with all of our obligations and what we need to do, and on top of it now these emotional, and that's why I started off today's show by saying, like, this is not supposed to happen during Lent, right? Lent is supposed to be the wind down time. It's just exactly the opposite. It's like winding up and just really... It's on supercharge, on steroids, you know? And I guess that's what Lent 2019 will always bring to my mind. That here was a time that we used to look forward to winding down and really thinking and meditating and being at peace and finding meaning and purpose and direction and praying. And this is going to be a year where we look in and say, yes, it was the Lent of 2019. The year when a terrorism once again poked its ugly head up. And people who were worshiping were killed. 50 of them. And many, many, many more injured. Hurt. And families that are hurt. You know, you multiply it. I'm very sensitive to this because, you know, we get into the Armenian genocide and we talk about the 1.5 million people. But that's how many people died. Now, compound that. It's exponential. Those families of those people, the people who were injured, who were exiled, the generations that followed have to also be accounted for. So I'm just pointing out, when you talk about any tragedy, it's not just the numbers at hand. It's the multiples that go behind those numbers that are part of the tragedy. And the bigger tragedy that we're now living in this world where the most sacred of spaces. I mean, my head the other day when this happened, I was thinking, wow, back in the 60s, churches were sacred spaces. Can you believe this? During the Vietnam War, you could find refuge in the church. The government was not allowed to come into the church. It was sacred space. Yes. It was sacred space. It was sanctuary. Not so today. There is no sacred left. We have to get with the program. Yes, we have to revise our expressions. And perhaps that's what this Lent is all about. at least for me. Yes, introspection, time for meditation and thought, maybe this is what we're contemplating. The ethics of today, the ethics of 2019. A world where tolerance is no longer there. A world where intolerance seems to be defining us more and more as we move forward. And a world where if you do want to fight the good fight, what are your instruments of that warfare? Yeah. It's the thoughts of Lent 2019. Let's take a break right now. We do a song of the day every week. Today I'm picking out something from the Commodores. Lionel Richie, yes. Lionel Richie. He's making a comeback now on one of these TV shows. I saw it the other night. I think it's America Got Talent, something like that. One of those talent shows. It was just great seeing him, and he was advising somebody about how to sing. And anyway, this is a song that appears on one of the gospel albums. It is called Jesus' Love by the Commodores. It's actually Lionel Richie singing it when he was with the Commodores. So I'd estimate this is probably in the late 1970s, a 40-year-old song, okay? Enjoy.
Wherever it leads me, I don't mind, Lord.
yes, you recognize that voice. That is Lionel Richie with the Commodores, and it's a song called Jesus is Love. I think that's what we needed today, so picked it out especially for today. It comes off of an album called Living the Gospel, Living the Gospel, Gospel Greats. So I honestly don't remember the Commodores doing gospel, but obviously their roots are there, considering this song. So I hope you enjoyed it. And something that we just need to constantly remind ourselves that Jesus is love. What I'm having a hard time with is, okay, now that we know Jesus is love, how do you live that life? You don't want to live it as a hypocrite. You want to be able to rise to the occasion. And we were given that occasion, and how we reacted to that life, to that incident is really the focus of today's next step. There'll be a link on today's show notes to that song as well as the album. Undoubtedly, you have heard the beginning to many a movie, right? That starts off like that. 21st Century Fox was sold today to Disney, or Disney acquired it, the big, vast Disney empire. You know, Disney, I don't know, have you been to Disneyland lately? I haven't been in years, but they say it's incredible. And in fact, it made the news also today because Disneyland, all the Disneyland resort hotels were completely booked the night before the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens. That's, I believe, at the end of May. So right now, all of them have been booked solid. From now, people have made reservations so that they could be there at the beginning of this new ride, this new attraction. Let's see, opening up May 31st in Anaheim's Disneyland and August 29th in Orlando's Hollywood Studio. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, Disney bought out 21st Century Fox. And you know, Disney used to be synonymous with wholesome entertainment. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you wanted to see something really wholesome, something you could take the whole family, something that was G-rated, you would go to a Disney picture and be guaranteed of that. Whether it was Bambi or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I don't know. I don't know if that's still acceptable. Can you say that? Or is that another one of those political correct? You have to, so Snow White and the Seven Little People. Whatever. Anyway, I mean, these were movies that came out during the 60s, the 70s, maybe, 50s. What am I talking about? Of course. Dumbo's just coming out. Dumbo's going to be re-released next week. That was, I think, 1940s. Wholesome entertainment. Walt Disney was known for giving you wholesome entertainment. Now they've acquired 21st Century Fox. And so now, new things on the horizon. How do you juggle all this? Now, the reason I'm saying this is because today I was at an interesting forum this morning where many teachers, educators, principals of the local Armenian schools were invited, along with some of the parent teacher organization, PTO or PTA members, who are now asking for more religious education inside of the Armenian Church curriculum. And it was just interesting to see a few of the people around the table, especially administrators, kind of squirm, because all of a sudden now they're being called to task, like, hey, you guys are calling yourself an Armenian organization, and where is that Armenian church? And you know what? It's the same old, where we're trying to define what does it mean? What are the parameters of being Armenian? Does it include Christianity? Can you be Armenian without the church? Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot going on. In fact, you know what? Check out today's show notes. I'm going to put in a piece that I wrote. It was less than a year ago. It was on the 100th anniversary of Sardarabad. It's about Christ on our doorsteps, the last station stop being America. So check that out, okay? We talk a little bit about identity there. What does it mean? But these are big, challenging questions for us. So these group of educators were sitting there and everyone's trying to pass the buck. Well, you know, it doesn't matter if you have education, Christian education, religious education. The parents are not going to come to church, and that's the worst example because you're teaching something and the parents are giving an opposite example. And I'm going, wow, this is kind of novel, right? So in other words, we shouldn't teach science because, you know, the parents aren't scientists. We shouldn't teach math and if the parents don't understand math. But everybody kind of understands the basic concepts of math, right? You know that 10 plus 10 equals 20, and you don't need anything more than your body, because if you can't figure that out, you can always count your fingers and then add the number of toes you have. Unless you have six toes on one, then you're off a little bit. Anyway, you get the idea. Yeah, we are diverging. So there you have it. The discussion about a simple thing, a request from the parents that we want more religious education, gets into this defensive posturing of the school administration. So I was just very interested to see. Actually, it was such a strong step taken by our primate, Archbishop Hovnon. He had invited us to be there. And it was an eye-opener, really, because these are discussions that I thought we had like 20, 30 years ago. About the Armenian Christian experience. What does it mean to be living in diaspora? What does the role of the church? What is the church? It was interesting because all of a sudden we're just hearing what has been discussed for all too long. I think it goes back to the early parts of the last century, as soon as the Armenians went into exile, as soon as they were thrown out of their homeland, as soon as a diaspora was created. Now we have the issues of what does it mean to be an Armenian? How do you define that? The church takes on a role of addressing issues of identity, of national preservation, of cultural presentation, the big difficulties between the pain of trying to juggle all these things. And bottom line is self-preservation, right? You want to preserve this. And then you get people that come in with these nobler ideas that maybe faith should be beyond just a definition. It should have a practical approach to it. I've said this many times, especially among my friends and my family. I think one of our problems as far as our ministry goes has been that, you know, we take the church in a completely different understanding than most people who are members of the Armenian Church understand it. In other words, for us, it's more than just a place where you go and have baptisms, weddings, and funerals. Yes, those are important. They're part of the cycle of life. But there is also an outreach component. There is a work ethic that has to be instilled in our people to understand that, yes, you have an obligation. It's not just enough to say that you are the children of the first Christian nation. And this struggle about what does it mean? I mean, look, I went to Armenia in 1977, my first time, and I was 20 years old. I got there. I had grown up understanding that the Armenians were the first Christian nation. And you get there and you realize that there are people who sit down at meals and do not pray. And if you do pray, they look at you weird because what are you doing praying? And then you realize that, oh, this is what we call the Soviet Union. This is what we call communism. This is what we call atheism. And it's a big wake-up call when you realize that, hey, the first Christian nation, you get there and religion is not only not accepted, but there's an effort to counter religion. An atheistic society, which has, you know, it's one of its platforms, is that there is no religion, there is no God. Religion is the opium of the people, right? That's from Marx and Engels. So it's a difficult one. It's the same difficulty we have trying to explain to people that, you know, yes, it is the first Christian nation, but it's only been 25 years since independence when they've had that opportunity to truly exploit what it means to be independent. And this is, I've shared this how many times, you know, these people who are a little bit impatient with the way things work out in Armenia. It's only been 25 years. 25 years. I mean, think about 25 years after independence of the United States. That puts you right around the year 1800. What was life like? Yeah, there was a lot of inequality, namely in the name of slavery, right? You had people feuding with one another, difficulties. No, it's not the panacea that you believe it is today. It takes time. And you have to give it time. You have to be patient with it so that it could get to the point that you want it to get to. Right? That's part of the patience that you have in weaning a child off of the mother's milk and then having it stand on its own 2 feet and exploring life and becoming the person that you want it to be. So that being said, think about it. You know, I mean, people making up excuses like we don't need, you know. And it's always interesting to me also for when I go to things like this, why there's such a fight against religion. You can point and look at examples in other ethnicities and you could see the power of religion. You could see the power of God. And for some reason, for a group of people that claim to be this first Christian nation, it's hard to believe that they really have put aside that Christianity. And so we get engaged. I say all this because, you know, this article comes out today. All Disneyland resort hotels are completely booked the night before Star Wars Galaxy Edge opens. Okay, imagine that. People have bought tickets and they are sold out. Not only this, everything. I mean, you look at some of the popular plays that we have. Whether it's a Hamilton or you go out there and you buy your tickets for a football game, a basketball game, and you spend thousands and thousands of dollars to do this. At the very least, a few hundred dollars, okay? Let's be conservative. But when it comes to issues of the church and faith, for some reason, we want to believe that it's just a freebie, that we don't give it its intrinsic value because we don't see that intrinsic value. It's hard to qualify it, to understand it. Very, very difficult. I used to see this a lot of times in parish life. You know, people would argue with you whether you should up the price of a ticket from $2 to $3. Why? Because, oh man, $3 is going to put a hardship. Let me just even go beyond parish life. Just last year, you guys remember, I threw the Reclaim Conference. Do you know how I got fought on that? Tooth and nail. 3 days conference with 25 different people speaking. All meals included for 3 days. All meals included. Plus the programming, the lectures, the events. For those 3 days, we dared to charge only $200. This is religion. You got to give it free. You got to put it in. Hey, nobody's talking about not giving it free. We're talking about, hey, it costs something to do it, to find its intrinsic worth. There is a worth to this. You know, I'm bringing speakers from all over. Somebody's paying those airfares. Somebody's paying for those hotels. But somehow for religion, when it comes to it, we don't want to touch it. It should be free. We have no problem booking hotels and being ready to see the Disney attraction that will last a good maybe 10 minutes at the most tops. You're going to be standing in line forever, and then you get up there and it'll last a few minutes, and you have now spent not only dollars but time and resources and all that, but that's okay. People would fight me, you know, let's not push up the the meal price, and yet they're spending all the on so many other things. It's one of the reasons why in some of my parishes I just couldn't handle it. I was the parish priest up in San Jose, Silicon Valley. We had a mortgage on the church building, and we couldn't pay it. And yet, if you have any idea of what Silicon Valley is, you're talking about one of the wealthiest areas in the United States. I didn't feel so bad that it was just our church. The first school system that went bankrupt in California was in San Jose. Yeah, back in the 1990s. It went bankrupt. At least it consoled me that, hey, okay, it's not just the church. And yet, it's one of the wealthiest areas. But it tells you where their priorities are. And this is what Jesus talks about, right? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, and vice versa. Where you put your treasure, where you put your money, that's where your heart's going to be. So what are we investing in? Star Wars. It's beautiful. You know what? I'm a big fan. I would love to go see this. Whether 3 months in advance, I'd reserve a room and pay for it and go stand in line with tickets and wait and for this 5-minute expression. I don't know. I don't think I'm at that point, but I'll never say never. I'm not going to point the finger at anybody else. Everybody's free to do what they want, but you can't give that as an excuse for staying away from God and for staying away from the church. It's that excuse that I'm talking about. Of course, yes. We want to find somebody else to pin it on. It's an excuse. We are in the middle of Lent. And talk about excuse. I want to give you this that came to me last Sunday. We were doing the sunrise service. They called the Ave Vocal, and it just came to me because the melodies are sometimes haunting, difficult but haunting. And it occurred to me that we call this service in the Armenian Church, you know, there's, according to Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 146. I'm throwing that out, okay? I don't have it in front of me, but I want to show you that, hey, this Orthodox priest can quote scripture with the best of them, okay? Just, you could go check it out. Sure, of course. It's a challenge. Psalm 119, verse 146, it says, 7 times a day will I praise thee. So here's the precedence. Here's the order. For the Armenian Church, we have 7 orders of worship, 7 hours of worship. And it comes from that psalm, okay? One of those is called the sunrise. And this is a beautiful service that, unfortunately, for some reason, we've decided that it should be celebrated only during the Lenten season. I think just because of lack of resources, we don't have enough people to do these services throughout the day. So we've kept this one for the Lenten. It's traditional to do it during Lent. Sunrise, and you listen to it, and it's haunting, it's sad, and it occurred to me, what is that sadness? Well, for a group of people who have been persecuted, who have turned their head every day and just seen despair, have seen death, have been abused, have been raped and pillaged, not only as people, but their land and their country, what hope do you have? How can you believe in a tomorrow with all that uncertainty? And it occurred to me that these songs, the sadness, this is basically the Armenian blues. You know, blues that we listen to, created out of, its roots are in slavery. African Americans would be singing the blues, looking at their lives. I mean, gospel, early gospel, it's about that. And here it is. We're listening to the sunrise service. You're realizing that this is the Armenian blues. Because where is your hope? You believe in God, who says, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in the scriptures that tells you faith, hope, and love abide in these three. But how can you hope for tomorrow when every day you're getting smacked in the face and your life is threatened and your loved ones are disappearing? What is the hope? The sun. The sun. Here comes the sun. Before George Harrison wrote it, the Armenian Church had placed it as one of the 7 hours of worship. It's called the Sunrise Service. And it's basically exactly that. It's a service of hope. It's a service of believing that the sun's coming up, that despite how difficult it is, you have that faith that tomorrow the sun is going to come up. And that's the hope that keeps you going. Because in that sun, you see light, you see warmth, which is God itself. God is coming to you. And God is there in your life. There's nothing else that could answer the plight of the Armenians but God. I mean, when you look at all the difficulties, all the despair, and I've shared this with you in the past about the Indian Orthodox prelate who told me that, you know, he had specific instructions from a Catholicos of the Armenian Church that in the Armenian people, there was an opportunity to see what Christianity can be like with suffering, with the message of the cross. He who believes in me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. Armenians have lived that faith. And that's where the hope is. That's what the blues are all about. That's what the sunrise service. Today, the sun is coming up. A completion. Hope is now satisfied. We were hoping for it. It has now come. It was just beautiful. It was an awakening for me last Sunday. And I throw that out along with all these ideas that we talked about today as part of this Lenten journey that we're on. Different ideas for you to think about, for you to ponder, meditate, and may it be part of your spiritual journey this Lent. Ah, the piano player's back. I don't know how he fits that piano into the studio, but since he has, here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that wonderful announcement. And thank you, all of you who listen, who share your stories with me, who pass along the links to this podcast, to our videos. Did you get to see our latest video? It's part of the AC202 collection. It's about Gomidas Vartabed of the church. I'll be sharing more about that in detail with you in the next few weeks as we get closer to the Reclaim Conference of 2019. Reclaim is an opportunity to reclaim what is ours. This year, we're focusing in on Gomidas, who happens to be a Vartabed, a priest of the Armenian church. Imagine that. He's not just a musician, but he is a priest of the Armenian church. And there's so much to learn, so much to experience. I'm really excited. One of the participants who's going to be lecturing is going to be talking about about the letters of Gomidas. This is just a fascinating, fascinating topic where you get to see Gomidas, the different personalities that he manifested through those letters. And this is coming up April 6th. I hope you'll join us if you're in the Burbank area. It's going to be at the St. Leon Cathedral at the Western Diocese. Now, I was saying a few minutes ago, yeah, there is a price on it. This year it's $35. It's just always amazing. I said a few minutes ago that, you know, I was fought on these prices, despite the fact that I think we've done Reclaim 2 years. You can count on your hand how many people paid full price, because part of it was after I was given that much criticism, I went out and I found donations, donors to pay for scholarships. And we packed it in for 2 years in a row. We got donations from people to take care of so many people that came under scholarship. This year, it's only $35. It's a one-day event. And like I said earlier, sometimes, you know, you got to admit that, you know, okay, this is the way it is. This is what people want. You get what you pay for. You want Disneyland, you pay for Disneyland. You want faith, you need to pay for it. And that doesn't mean that we're about money. It just means that a laborer is worth his or her wages. And it costs money. Yeah, I know. I've heard it all. Oh, the priest is talking about money. Yeah, get with it. It costs money because the web space that we're on costs money. The domain costs money. This microphone I'm sitting across me costs money. It goes over the airwaves via the internet. That internet link costs money. And you know what? None of us get paid for this. It's a labor of love. And I thank God. I thank God that we have this. It has been so cathartic, especially on days like today. So I want to thank you for your donations. I want to thank you for being with us, and especially for your prayers that keep this ministry going forward. Last 3 weeks I've been at St. James covering for Father Hartung. We want to welcome back to the United States. He just went back. One of the things that our Catholicos is doing is he's calling back all the priests one by one to come for a retraining. Retraining in the sense of coming and recommitting to the vows that they held sacred and they hold sacred. It's just a beautiful opportunity of seeing really our answer to that ugliness of sin. Remember, we were talking, we all sin, but we need these opportunities to renew our vows, to understand, yes, we have made mistakes and we want a fresh start, a new start and a new beginning. So, priests going back for retraining. There you go. There's a new start, a new point in their lives where they could do it. So he's getting back along with many other priests that have been on this program. It's a 3-week program. Put together by a Catholicos, and we want to wish him a safe trip back. It's been a pleasure to be out there at St. James. This next couple weeks, I'm going to be out at Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah, close to Phoenix, exactly. Near Phoenix, Arizona. Looking forward to getting some warm weather out there. We've been in Los Angeles. It rains. It's cold. We even had hail yesterday, believe it or not. I still find it hard to believe, but Susan told me she was driving and bombarded by hail. And of course, all these weather patterns in the world make us question about, well, no, we won't go there. I would love to. Because we're going to call it a day. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put this together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week, as well as through the week at all the socials at inhisshoes.org, when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.